Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Toon Jam. I am Matt.
And I'm J-Matt.
And you have joined us towards the end of the spooky season.
Spooky.
Too spooky, yes. Obviously, initially this was to be our final spooky episode, but we've extended it for one more week. However, don't let that make you feel at ease, because it's still going to be super spooky. That's right, yeah. So if you've been tuning in for all the spooks this month, you'll know that we started with a Mickey Mouse cartoon. What was it called? Mickey Mouse Brain Switcheroo.
Brain Switcheroo, yeah, that was it.
Yeah, it's what I'm remembering.
No, what was it called? I can't remember.
It was something about brains, anyway. I mean, a 90s Mickey Mouse cartoon.
I love that we both just forgot that. Like,
I know, that's blanked. Yeah. I've just looked it up before we started as well, so that's annoyed me. But we did it. I mean, you've listened to it, hopefully. But we decided to do the other banned Mickey Mouse cartoon. And that's what's important today anyway. So we have got today The Mad Doctor, which was made in 1933. So quite the difference from the 90s to the 30s. We've got a good 60-year difference there. But banned for similar reasons, basically. Being too spooky.
Ah.
So, what is going on in the Mickey Mouse world? Let me tell you a little bit about The Mad Doctor. It is, of course, a Mickey Mouse cartoon released in 1933, and this is known as the first appearance of the title character, the Mad Doctor, or, as he's also known, Dr. XXX.
Hmm.
Fun fact for you there. It was the 52nd Mickey Mouse short film. And the second of that year, the short's horror genre overtones made it unusual for a Mickey Mouse cartoon, especially at the time. Some theatres refused to show it, believing it to be too scary for kids. At one time, for this reason, it was banned entirely here in the United Kingdom, as well as in Nazi Germany.
How strange.
I know, interesting. On February 10th, 1933, the film Daily said that it was one of the liveliest animated cartoons to come along and plenty comical. So, well received at the time by the film Daily. The short's title character had a cameo as well in the Roger Rabbit short Tummy Trouble, in which he was seen on a picture on the wall in the doctor's office. The Mad Doctor was also the basis for and title of the second level in the video game Mickey Mania, The Timeless Adventures of Mickey Mouse, released on the SNES, the Genesis, the Sega CD, and the PlayStation. But on the PlayStation, it was known as Mickey's Wild Adventure.
Wow.
I don't know if you ever played that game.
No.
I did. And it was absolutely belting. Let me tell you, what a game that was.
Two thumbs up.
Yeah, it was dead, dead good. I think, I'm pretty sure it was this one. I had two at the time, but this one was like, the first level was Steamboat Willie.
Right.
And then this was the second level, and then you did different things. It was just so good. If anyone remembers that, kudos. a depiction of the Mad Doctor level is used as the cover art of the game as well. So you may remember him from that. He also appears as a major character in Epic Mickey and its sequel.
Mm.
If you've ever played those, they're more recent.
Yeah, I did play a little bit of Epic Mickey, I think.
Yeah, so that was 2010. I thought they were also pretty well. I played the second one.
Mm.
Couldn't get the first one, which was annoying. But the second one was pretty good.
Yeah, I think they're quite well loved, aren't they, those games as well?
Yeah, yeah. Reminds you of like, oh yeah, this is what a new Mickey Mouse game should be. Still, it's got that kind of feel of the, you know, Mickey Mania years. Yeah. But it's all sort of about all the, you know, forgotten characters of Disney.
Yeah.
Isn't it? That's kind of the whole, because it's the whole Oswald the Lucky Rabbit stuff. So he's like one of the main, is he the main villain?
I'm not sure.
I think he is. I think he's a big character in it anyway.
Yeah.
And also the video game Kingdom Hearts 3 includes a mini game based on the short with the Mad Doctor appearing as the enemy.
Oh, that's quite cool.
So yeah, there you go. He's appeared in more games than he has anything else by the looks of it.
Yeah. It sounds like that had more of a resurgence than the villain from the last one that we did.
Yeah, but even he was in. So I mean, it was Pete. So
yeah,
but he was in games, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he had a different name in this as well, didn't he? It was like something weird. It was like Francis or something. For some reason, I don't know why.
Oh, you mean the professor?
No, like, didn't Pete have, like, a different name for some reason in this?
Was it, like, a Frankenstein thing?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I know the professor, the mad professor that died, he was called Dr. Frankenolly.
Right.
Is that what you're thinking of?
No. I was thinking of the of Pete.
Just to go back to the title, Runaway Brain.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
It was in the palm of our hands.
It's so there. It's so close. Brain switcheroo, though.
Grace was pretty spot on. But yeah, fun stuff. The short was released on December 2nd, 2002 on Walt Disney Treasures Mickey Mouse in black and white. In addition, this cartoon is one of the few Disney shorts that lapsed into the public domain and can be found on many low-budget VHS tapes and DVDs, usually paired with Minnie's Yoo-Hoo and The Spirit of 43, and two other shorts by Disney. Mm. But as such, you can find it, you know, easily over on YouTube.
Yeah.
Or anywhere else, really, on the internet. If you wanted to watch it after you've listened, or if you're like, oh, pause now and watch it, you know, do whatever you want. Don't watch it at all. I don't care. It's up to you, mate.
We're not in control. You can do what you want.
Yeah,
you don't have to do what we tell you.
But yeah, interesting. So basically, due to it being banned, Disney kind of swept it under the rug a little bit, tried to hide it away. They weren't particularly bothered about it, so they never renewed the trademark on it, never trademarked the Mad Doctor as a character. And then the cartoon itself went into the public domain.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, really. Right? Yeah. I think there's, like you say, Minnie's Yoo-Hoo as well. There's some weird like Disney things in public domain that you kind of don't think about. And isn't there like a whole thing that, you know, Mickey in general is going to like slip into that in the next few years or something?
I'm not sure that on what the deal is with it, to be honest, but isn't it like 100 years?
It's like 70 years since the creator dies, which is kind of a weird thing to have. Mm. It's like once the original creator passes away, there's then usually like a 70-year stint where it stays in copyright, right, and then it goes into public domain. So unless, you know, other things of, there's like exceptions to that, but yeah, in general, that's kind of how it works. So it's pretty interesting that Mickey, it's something as big as Mickey Mouse could go into the public domain.
Well, that's it, because, you know, we're in a time now where Mickey's going to be probably one of the first, but it's going to be all these characters that are, you know, massive franchises.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be something, I think, that will prevent it from going into the public domain,
yeah,
if I'm honest.
Yeah, I think so, because I can't see
they'll find a way. Because, you know, it's not just Mickey Mouse. You've got, like, you know, Superman, Batman.
Yeah.
You know, loads of superheroes now. And obviously they're big money makers.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's an interesting one to see how that plays out over the next few years. But, yeah, the Mad Doctor, public domain as a character.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll see any remakes. Like, we'll get like a Mad Doctor Netflix TV series where
easily done.
Yeah.
So there you go. Pretty intriguing, pretty cool. But yes, the second banned Mickey Mouse cartoon, like I say, there's one with Minnie. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of 43 is also a World War II propaganda film.
Oh.
Where I'm sure Donald Duck joins the army. So,
wow.
I'm sure it's something like that anyway. It's
That seems like in a different league to this.
Yeah. So maybe one day we'll do some more banned cartoons. But yeah. So pretty interesting stuff over the years, I suppose.
Yeah.
Times change and, you know, companies probably want to get rid of some of their old stuff. I mean, especially when you existed in these times, there's also, I mean, as we've seen and talked about before with Disney, you know, they're having to deal with now previous, you know, racism and things like that that have appeared in their pieces.
Yeah, yeah. It's with something as huge as Disney, like there's a lot of, there's so much stuff you've got to kind of like, you know, curtail and try and figure out, because it's just a brand that's been going on for such a long time. But it's just,
well, that's it, and obviously a brand with a very specific message, really.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and reputation, I suppose. So
yeah, so they kind of need to sweep these things under the rug.
Mm.
But, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about again the need to sweep this under the rug as we go on. But had you watched this before today?
I don't think so. No, I don't think I'd actually seen the Mad Doctor. No. I may have seen images of the Mad Doctor himself.
We played Epic Mickey, so...
Yeah, exactly. So
you will have seen him on that and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't think I actually witnessed it this start to finish before, no.
No. I think I might have seen it before.
Mm.
Because I used to have the Treasure Trove Mickey Mouse DVD.
Right.
So I probably did see it. But watching it again felt like watching it again, like watching it from the fresh. Anyway. So I didn't really remember it that well if I'd seen it.
Yeah.
But I do remember him quite well from Epic Mickey. So I don't know if it just replaced it in my mind. As often happens with these old ones. Okay. So, I mean, both of us at least felt like it was new.
Yeah. That's all that matters.
Yeah, so interesting. Let's see how it's been rated online. Unfortunately, there is no Rotten Tomatoes, so 100% on there.
Yeah, definitely.
Guaranteed. But there are 1,500 ratings over on IMDb.
Hmm.
So it's not, you know, for saying how old it is, it's not magnanimous, but it's a good amount.
Yeah.
So what do you reckon? What do you reckon the score is on IMDb?
I'm going to say 6.2.
6.2. It's actually 7.6.
Oh, wow. A lot better than that.
Yeah. So, actually, fairly reasonable score there.
Yeah. Very, very high rated.
Well, I think you'd expect it from a classic Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
In a way, I mean, and as you know, I can't imagine people now having the same problems
they had
back then, you know, with it being too spooky. Obviously, we've, you know, probably got a bit more resilient to things as time's gone on.
Oh, definitely. Well, I'm sure we'll get into that a bit more.
Okay. Well, let's gloss over that for now. Don't worry, we'll be back on it.
We'll be back.
Before we discuss it, let's head over to Twitter. What's Twitter got to say about the
Mickey Mouse Club? So we've got a few people that have seen it and remember it, and there's the first person is in response to someone to a thread about like which movie scared you the most. Sandman 420 replied, "Not technically a movie, but the 1933 Mickey Mouse short The Mad Doctor traumatized me and then some. Pretty sure that's where my childhood fear of skeletons started. One of the first preschools I ever went to played it for us constantly." Skull face.
That's it is a pretty weird thing for a preschool to play, I suppose. Yeah. I'm guessing, did they have like a compilation, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
So they just kept playing the compilation. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe they did just put it on loop and it was really that cruel to little children.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think playing anything constantly is like, seems unnecessary anyway.
Yeah,
like you just get sick of it. Like you would end up having dreams of it if you had to watch it all the time. Yeah, cool.
But the skeletons was the bit that scared them the most.
Yeah, yeah, spooky skeletons.
Yeah.
I remember being a little bit scared of skeletons, but that was because my aunties always told me that there was a skeleton called Skelly in the spare room where we'd sleep at my nan's house. So all my cousins were scared of Skelly in there. So you know.
Well, there you go.
Can happen.
I wasn't too scared, mainly because I remember reading Funny Bones.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Those guys aren't scary.
Yeah, they were cool. They were cool. Yeah, it was more specifically Skelly that I was scared of.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah,
yeah. Everything was in that cupboard, though. You just didn't want to ever go in there. So we have also have Maul of America, like MAUL of America. Cool name.
Oh.
He says, "Mickey Mouse, The Mad Doctor, 1933. Still haunts me from when I saw it as a 5-year-old in the late 60s.
So you got to think, you know, even then it was over 30 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's got a lasting effect. Really?
Yeah, these Mickey Mouse cartoons really seem to sink their teeth into people's brains for some reason. They really stick around. Maybe it's something to do with the fact that it's Mickey and people kind of go in with like the jolly expectations. Yeah, it's just like, oh, it's just going to be another fun Mickey one. And then when it's like a horrifying short, it's like, I was not prepared for that.
Yeah, because I mean, it does definitely have like a, you know, a goosebumps feel to it, doesn't it? Like,
yeah. It's definitely spookier.
Yeah.
We have Charity Grace, who said, "The Mad Doctor was my favourite Mickey Mouse cartoon growing up. I watched it a million times on a VHS that had classics like Betty Boop, Small Fry, Farm and Foolery, and Little Audrey, hashtag classic cartoons."
There you go. So just that's one of those VHSs we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, yeah. So probably the one that preschool had.
Yeah, it probably is. Mm. It's probably basically because it was in, you know, the public domain.
Mm.
That's why it's haunted so many people still to this day.
Maybe, yeah.
It just shows you, no matter how much you try to hide it, it'll worm its way out into the public.
Cucaracha Chavez, who says, "Fun fact, the Mad Doctor from 1933, Mickey Marshall, of the same name, was originally titled Dr. Triple X. But due to Triple X now being associated with pornographic content, the name was changed.
Well,
to the title short. So,
I wonder why, obviously now it is synonymous with pornographic content.
Yeah.
And Vin Diesel. But I wonder why they originally. What was it originally like?
Yeah, didn't they used to have like Triple X on like in old cartoons? They'd have it on like whiskey bottles and stuff. Like,
yeah.
And I think it just meant like dangerous like, stuff.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it must have been, mustn't it? Like, and then I guess it kind of moved towards like, you know, adult content.
Yeah, for some reason.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a, you know, it's a warning label in a way.
Yeah.
So I guess it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I did, because you do see, the three X's on the name outside the house. For the, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, three X's.
So there you go.
It could have been a very different house Mickey was going into.
Yeah. it's kind of like calling him Dr. Skull and Crossbones logo.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
You know, Dr. Yeah. Toxic. Yeah.
The artist formerly known as Skull and Crossbones.
Yeah. Yeah. That's basically what he's called.
Yeah. Yeah. But interesting.
But yeah, so it's still people spooked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
You know, I would recommend that if any of you are listening, don't watch Bobby yet. Heads up. Just a shout out to last week.
Yeah.
Because that's, another level. But yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's I think, a good point to start off with. Look, going back onto the spooky side of things. Like, in a world where you've seen Bobby Yeah.
Which is not a normal world.
Not a normal world for most of us. But for those of us who experience Bobby Yeah, you know, there's two points in your life. One is before you see Bobby Yeah, and one is after, because you're a different person entirely. This Mickey Mouse short suddenly does not really feel that extreme, does it?
No, but I would say that it is technically spookier than Bobby Yeah. Because Bobby Yeah wasn't spooky.
No, it was just
terrifying. It was just uncomfortable, yeah. That is obviously as well, A, not for kids, and B, not the same sort of, you know, horror.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, you may not have seen Bobby yet in particular, but the type of stuff that, like you said, many years later after this was made, like, what kids are kind of exposed to nowadays and stuff.
Yeah, like, you would feel like this was suitable for kids now.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, it is pretty interesting to think, like, just how different our sort of sensitivities are to things like this. Like, the fact that they banned this seems kind of wild now. Like, when you look at some of the new Mickey Mouse shorts and stuff, they're just, like, happily on a streaming service for any kid to watch. Like, you know, it's like, wow, they, like, I'm not even really sure. I mean, I guess the skeletons were a bit spooky and stuff. The tone of it, obviously, trying to be spooky.
But I think the worst stuff was the sort of, it was the Doctor. And particularly when he had Pluto sort of, you know, attached to a board, and he's talking about how he wants to, like, mutate him. And Pluto, I think him being so upset, that is the jarring bit, I think.
Yeah, Pluto in peril, you think, is
Because it's not, it's real, like, it's real peril, I think, for him. And, you know, Mickey's scared for his dog.
Yeah.
And then, and I mean, there's no real, I mean, spoiler alert, it ends and it's all a dream.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, other than that, it doesn't end happily, does it? Like, Mickey then gets captured.
Yeah.
And is almost sawed in half. And then he wakes up.
So
it is, I can see, like, as a kid, you know, particularly then when, you know, now we've got, I mean, if you, I don't know if you've watched any 1930s horror movies. But they're really not very scary. actually, they're more like comedy now. Obviously, people still love them. But you watch, like, the old Dracula and stuff, and you're not going to go, like, oh, gosh, like, walking around your house, like, oh, there's a vampire here. It's, like, laughable.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen Nosferatu.
there's a charm to it, isn't there? Like, like, but, yeah, they're not going to, you know, you'd probably let your kids watch it now. But in the same way, this, I think this is probably scarier than Dracula at the time, in a way. So at the time, this must have been like, whoa,
really,
what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Because it is, like, when you think this is either as or more scary than a famous horror film from that era, then it's got to be a bit, you know, a bit too far for a kid's.
When were those Betty Boop episodes out there that we watched? Like, because
yeah, it would have been a similar time.
I mean, like, and they didn't get banned, and they were genuinely terrified.
But I think theirs was different. It was like a lot of that. The terrifying part of it is just the way it looks, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, there's definitely, like, ghost-like imagery in there and stuff. And
oh yeah, but it's the peril, it's the actual peril of the situation.
Yeah, so I do wonder if that's kind of the big swing on this, because obviously there's been dancing skeletons and stuff and lots of spooky things and other things, but the fact that Pluto, like, even from the start where he's sort of being grabbed and dragged to the castle,
it's a bit horrible.
You can hear him whimpering, can't you? And
as someone that's got a dog as well, like, you are a bit like, oh, that would be horrible.
Yeah. I mean, that was Mickey's main concern throughout the whole thing. Is that Pluto's upset. So, yeah, maybe that's the thing that really did it. Because I don't think there was anything in this that you sort of hadn't really seen in a different, like, because those Betty Boops were pretty wild. There's, like, a lot going on in the short space of time. And in comparison, this sort of, the I guess that sort of old cartoon aspect kind of seemed a bit toned down in this compared to some of those ones, because obviously no one was dancing constantly all the way through the thing. And then there were some cool moments, like, you know, you did get some of that, like just kind of ideas where it's like, oh, where does that come from? That's really cool. Like the way that like Mickey's sort of like wandering up some stairs and then skeletons are kind of underneath them and they're kind of readjusting the staircase to like what he's on and stuff. Like that. Just, that was kind of fun to watch. And just, you know, skeletons being in weird scenarios and all over the place and stuff.
Well, this is why, I mean, going back to it, this is why I was kind of surprised about the skeletons with the scary bit.
Mm.
You know, at least for one person, you know, over on Twitter. But obviously they were for them.
Mm.
And I guess it's different for everyone because we all have our own fears and strange, some normal. But, you know, the skeletons for me weren't really the, you know, they were sort of the fun bit.
Yeah, yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, they never felt like a threat, did they?
No. But Minnie the Moocher was 32, so it's a year before.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably the reason this was made.
Yeah. Really.
The 30s monsters were pretty in trend anyway. I mean, that's why you've got all these horror movies at the time. And then it's funny because, I mean, I've not spoken about it for a while, but you can go to the old 30 years rule if you want. You know, guys, if you've not listened before, basically, fashion is a 30-year wheel. But, you know, you've got the spooky cartoons of the 30s, the spooky cartoons of the 60s, and then a la the 90s. We're back on Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting stuff. 60s being, you know, obviously the monster revival and Scooby-Doo being a big one. But yeah, it could be that this just took Minnie the Moocher and went that little bit further.
Mm.
And that's when people were like, you've gone too far. Because Minnie the Moocher and the Snow White one, they were basically a song, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And that kind of, I guess, helps it. Because everyone's just dancing, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this is like, there was a song in it, but then after that, it's just a lot of yelling.
Yeah, yeah.
Peril. And then even when he's, you know, wakes up in his bed, it looks a bit spooky.
And like, yeah.
How is he wrapped up there?
Yeah, that was weird. I was like, what's he doing here? how has he got his sheets in that particular configuration?
Like a mummy, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was really weird.
Mummy mania, mate.
I think as well, like that, the fact that it's just like a dream sequence as well, just kind of rids you of, you know, the
For a kid, especially, it's like, whew.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, kind of what you need, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, oh, it was all just a nightmare sequence or whatever. Like, you need that kind of resolution at the end of some sort. Yeah. And this is like the easiest one to do, just like, oh, it wasn't even real, so you don't need to worry about it.
But I think there must be a big part of it that is simply because it's Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, yeah.
And putting him in danger and sort of, you know, I guess the target audience of Mickey Mouse. And I mean, Betty Boop, is it really like... Well, I mean, I don't know. I remember she was a bit of an icon, wasn't she, in the 30s? So I guess it's adults as well.
Yeah.
That are into that. Whereas Mickey Mouse, obviously, is iconic, but has always been for kids. Mm. You know, not to say you can't enjoy it as an adult, but, you know, he's a family-friendly mouse.
Yeah.
So put him in a horror and people just, I don't know, it seems like there's a select crowd that really don't like it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I mean, it was reviewed well from what we've seen at the time. It was just us in the UK and, you know, Nazi Germany that were like, no way.
No, sir. in comparison to Runaway Brain, what would you say? Which one did you find more terrifying?
I mean, because it's difficult because you're not going to watch any now and be terrified.
No.
I would say actually this one's probably technically spookier. Mm. Just because, you know, it has that sort of like other than it's a dream, you know, you could still think about the Mad Doctor afterwards. And it's kind of like, even though he's not real in Mickey Mouse's Part of a Dream, he still kind of wins, doesn't he?
Right, yeah.
It's quite horrible, and poor Mickey is on the thingy at the end. Whereas in the new one, you know, it's all resolved. Mickey Mouse kind of... I think the big problems with the new Mickey Mouse were more to do with tone, and it wasn't necessarily the spooky aspect. Mm-hmm. It was the fact that A, he looked like a monster.
Yeah.
Which scared people. And then B, you had things like he was a video game zombie. There was sort of little, not adult, but semi-adult jokes in there with the whole bikini shopping stuff. I think it was probably a bit too tongue-in-cheek at that point. You know, stuff like that, I think, is what kind of made Mickey Runaway Brain a bit more of a, I don't know, dodgy topic for people.
Yeah, maybe. It's interesting, though, that both of them essentially share the fact that, like, someone's going in for, you know, some sort of procedure, an unwanted procedure, really.
Yeah.
There's some sort of, there's a medical staff that's essentially the villain. And in this one, nothing actually really happens. Whereas in Runaway Brain, like, the main character, the title character, is literally, you know, like, a medical procedure is performed on them and their brain is switched out. Like that seems a bit more extreme. But
so did you think the Runaway Brain was scarier?
I don't know because I think this one is trying to be a lot spookier than Runaway Brain was. Like, I think the sequence in when he was actually sort of with the scientist in Runaway Brain, that did have like a spooky element, but everything else was kind of like, once it kind of got out of there, it was
it resolved, didn't it, in a way?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's tough between them to sort of, I think this one, if you were going to say like which one had the sort of the spookiest tone, I think this one probably does, just because, I don't know if that's because I'm associating it with old school black and white cartoons and the skeletons and stuff. But I think you could, as far as sort of like it being scary, though, I think Runaway Brain, you could easily be as scared of that as you were of this. Because,
yeah, like, the truth, I mean, definitely now, any, like, as well, like, a kid could watch either of them.
Oh, yeah.
And it wouldn't, like, you know, there are people that have been scared, fair enough. But now, I think, you know, as long as your kid's not, you know, too young to be watching anything like that, I guess, in your eyes, as a parent. But, you know, it's not like, I can't see it unsettling anyone too much.
No. But it's interesting though, really, just horror in general for kids.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a weird thing.
Because... it just shows you how difficult it is as well, doesn't it? Like, to kind of go on. But I mean, there's definitely worse episodes of something like Goosebumps or Are You Afraid of the Dark or The Crypt Keeper.
Oh, yeah.
But because... you know, you're not expecting it here with Mickey Mouse. And even like, I mean, I'd say it's definitely spookier than the Hey Arnold episode we watched.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's quite impressive how spooky it was for the time as well. Like, this is the 30s. And like I say, when it definitely feels spookier than some of the films that came out then.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess Minnie the Moocher as well. Like, that was an equally spooky thing. You think? I wonder, like, if that wasn't a song, and that was like a sequence of things happening. Like, would that have been, you know, would it have had the same impact or whatever?
Well, I feel like that's almost probably got like a reverse quality in where, you know, that was the music of the time. To watch that film, then it would have been modern. But now, almost, you know, the visuals, but almost the music is what makes it a bit scary now.
Yeah.
Because it's so, you know, it's so old, and it's like, it adds to the eeriness of that cartoon.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, it does feel like the cartoons in the 30s were scarier than the films. Which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I think what is interesting about this one is not long afterwards, they did a haunted house episode with Mickey, Donald and Goofy. And they reused a lot of the gags from this.
All right.
In that, so that was obviously they'd found the balance for that one.
Yeah.
And that was with the probably the ghosts you'd recognise.
Right.
In that, again, they were in Epic Mickey as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's to show you that obviously they were just trying to figure out the balance on what spooky was and, you know, doing horror things. I guess really, you know, they're the first horror cartoons as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they didn't have them before. So they really are mastering the art of the horror cartoon.
Yeah, horror for kids in a new way.
Well, there you go. We've had a good chat about that. Probably gone over a little bit. but with that out of the way, let's move on. Let's give our final reviews. Tired of chores around the home? Tired of getting up off the seat? Tired of doing pretty much anything? Well, don't worry, because now Dr. XXX has brought to you the Skeleton Servant.
Do you need to go up the stairs? Do you need to go down the stairs? Well, that's perfect.
That's right, Dr. XXX's skeleton servants are great for the stairs.
Do you need to put a candle on to see where you're going? Do you need to blow a candle out to stop seeing where you're going? That's perfect.
That's right, Dr. XXX's skeleton servants are great at blowing things, despite having no lips.
Do you need to not be inside of a skeleton's ribcage? Do you need to be tightly packed inside a skeleton's ribcage? That's perfect.
That's right. Dr. XXX's skeleton servants have a ribcage. So, if you're in need of a skeleton servant, call now and pick up your Dr. XXX's skeleton servants.
Get boned.
Okay, so here at 2Gem we have a 3-point rating system that goes as follows. Thumbs up. Too spooky. Thumbs down. Life after Bobby Year. Things change, man. shaky middle. Like the guidelines on a kids horror program. Hard to grasp. So good, bad, you know, in the middle. So we have got Mickey Mouse, the Mad Doctor. Your thoughts?
I did enjoy this little short overall. As far as Mickey Mouse things go, it was good. I don't think I enjoyed it as much as I did the Runaway Brain, but it was still fun. It still had lots of those elements in that you kind of come to know and love from those 30s cartoons and stuff. I don't think it felt as inventive though when compared to say some of the Betty Boops that we've seen and stuff. But it still you know was a fun little adventure for Mickey to go on. Equally, I don't know if I mean. Especially as an adult now, how spooky this was in comparison to some of the other stuff, especially since some of the you know modern stuff does still spook me out. So maybe not particularly spooky, maybe not particularly like you know as wild and as wacky as some of the things has been, but still an enjoyable little short. I did like the character of the you know the mad doctor. He seemed pretty fun, and I hope that we do get to see some more of him in you know whatever B movie offshoot sidetrack remix we're going to get in the future. I think you know overall it was you know would I sit down and watch it again because even though it's 5 minutes long, probably not in any rush to do that. But it was fine for what it was. So for me, it's going to be a shaky middle.
There you go. That's your lowest rating yet during the spooky season.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So there you go. Pure high again.
Yeah, pure high this year.
Yeah.
I quite enjoyed this. It was, I mean, it's what you'd expect. I agree with you that kind of it doesn't really add anything overly memorable. Mm-hmm. But I guess at the time, a lot of this was probably, you know, not necessarily new, but there weren't that many cartoons that were doing all of this. Mm-hmm. Now we've seen it a million times. It doesn't age as well in that respect. I think it is, you can appreciate that at the time, it probably was pretty spooky. And I think there's a certain uncomfortableness with the way sort of Pluto is treated in this that definitely makes it quite spooky. And I think as a spooky offering, it's pretty, it's pretty good for saying how old it is. That being said, I don't think you'd watch it now and be like, ooh, you can appreciate that and that's great, but I don't think it's going to, really scare you. I mean, it's no Moomins, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's true.
But that's not always what you want, especially when the kids are watching it. And then I think in that respect, it does straddle the line in a modern sense. To a good degree, I think it's got a little bit of spookiness that will probably spook some people out, as we've actually seen, through Twitter. But on average, I don't think it would be, too much of a fright for most people. Just a fun little Mickey adventure that has a bit of a shady ending. I think probably a big problem is the ending. It was all a dream. Mm. It kind of makes it feel. It kind of makes it feel scarier in a sense, like it makes the villain worse, but at the same time doesn't give you the resolution that you necessarily want, especially when you're watching a Mickey cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think this is probably part of the problem, is that really, in a sense, in some universe, in his dream world, Mickey died.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's probably where your trouble comes in, sort of thing. But yeah, I overall quite enjoyed it. There's been way worse, especially as far as Halloween outings. A la last year, we had some pretty garbage ones. So
yeah.
I'm actually going to be a thumbs up on this one.
Hmm.
So there you go. Thumbs up for that. So we've got obviously one more now for the spooky season, unless anyone wants to get in touch with any more spookies they want to just add on to the tail end of this.
Become a spook jam for the rest of the year.
Yeah, we've got, December's obviously a festive period. Mm. But November, we can still have the spooks. Why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, so far, there's been a couple of mixed bags, but overall, pretty positive response.
Mm.
Especially, as I say, compared with last year.
Yeah.
Mummy Nanny being a standout for poor quality.
Yeah.
But thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and the spooky season so far. Have a very spooky Halloween. Woo! Because that will be coming in a mere few days.
Mm.
As always, if you want to catch some of our older episodes, you can go over to our YouTube page, including our previous spooky ones. Or if you're listening over on YouTube, you can get us wherever you get your podcasts, at Toon Jam, at Toon Jam Pod. Otherwise, we have a merchandise store, bit.ly/ToonJamShop. And a Patreon for bonus episodes. If you did enjoy today's episode, please feel free to rate and review us. It really helps us out and helps spread the word. But otherwise, as always, thank you for listening. And until next time, you stay spooky! Boo!
Hey everyone, thank you for listening. If you want to help the show keep going, you can be extra jammy by heading over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/ToonJamPod. Here you can get a shout out on the show or unlock bonus episodes. Ratings and reviews anywhere you listen to the podcast also really help us out. So thank you and stay jammy.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.